dear Dhamma friends, first I'd like to give my warm gratitude to all of you who give me this opportunity to be with you again at this level and to touch your spiritual interest. Meditation and meditator. So, when we think about this subject, meditation, or when we think about a meditator, what type of image is coming to our mind? How the mind is answering or responding to this subject? We say, he's a meditator or she's a meditator. Do you really think about it? What does it mean? When we say he's a doctor or she's a teacher, that gives very clear picture and everybody can agree to it. Let us think about a topic. What does it mean? Meditation or meditator? What type of image or picture comes to your mind? Sometimes I have to introduce meditation to children in schools, so they are not so familiar to this subject, even in Sri Lanka. So I ask them to draw a picture about meditator before I start to give a talk. They don't know about meditation or meditation techniques, but everybody drew same picture. Who sits quietly with closed eyes under the tree. When we say I am a meditator or we are meditating, that means we sit sometimes quietly with closed eyes and do something. Nobody knows what we do. So first we can discuss about this sitting meditation. It is so important thing. That's why thousands of years it comes as a meditation, a way to meditate. You have to sit quietly and straight your back, neck and head, and close your eyes and try to sit in this posture as far as possible. This is the way to meditate. For this sitting meditation, or I like to say formal way to meditate. This is a formal way to meditate. So, if you are practicing this type of meditation, you need a place to sit. We can't sit everywhere for this sitting meditation. That's why we are looking for some calm, quiet and silent place to do sitting meditation. That's why you have a very beautiful and silent room in this hall to meditate. No sound here and nobody make any single noise here. You can't hear any vehicle sound or whatever here. And you call this is a meditation hall because no sound here. After yesterday's talk, my friend Bert brings me to some area and it was nice. So much noise, so much music and people, they drink and dance in the street. So I was thinking why we didn't build our meditation hall in that area. But so, nobody thinks to build a meditation room or meditation center in that type of area because silence is, quietness is kindness is really, really essential for that type of formal being practice. Meditation is something psychological, not physical. But silence is physical thing. It is not psychological thing. We can experience the silence in this room, but still it is physical. Sound is something materialistic thing, not a spiritual thing. So why we need that type of physical or materialistic silence to calm down our mind? What's the reason? Because our mind is not independent. It depends on so many other things which is not totally psychological. So we can find out few factors that affect to our mind. The first factor is the qualities of the environment, the qualities of the outside. If outside is silent, is quiet, is peaceful, normally our mind is going to calm down. Not 100%, but it happens. Without having a breath, mind goes to silence if everything is silent around yourself. If you are aware about your mental movement, then you can see this thing very clearly. When you are in busy and noisy places, how does your mind move? How thoughts are coming? How the mind is moving fastly? Also, when you are going to some peaceful place, how the mind shut down its movement gradually or spontaneously. You can see this link between your mind and external conditions. So this is the first factor. And the second thing is, our mind is depending on the time. If you are observing your mental movement throughout the day, from morning to night, you can see how the mind is changing because of the time that you are experiencing. If it's early morning, your mind is very slow. And at noon time, your mind is moving fastly, like a express train. And again, in the afternoon, or in the evening, or at night time, again, mind goes slowly. So it depends on the time, not 100%, but basically mind is depending on the time in the day. Therefore, when we want to sit to meditate, when we want to sit to calm down our mind, if we can choose, we always choose morning time or late evening or night time, because easy to meditate during that time. Rather than trying to meditate it at noon time. Again, time is something physical, something materialistic thing. I mean not the concept of time, but I mean morning, or this now morning, now noon time, now night time. This is very physical, we know. But you can see our mind is depending on that type of physical thing too. So we are looking a peaceful place and peaceful time to start our formal meditation. And the third factor that I am going to discuss with you is the posture. So that's why we are choosing this posture to meditate. We sit very quietly. If you sit in this half lotus posture, you can't jump quickly, you can't run quickly, or you can't stand up quickly. So that this is a trap to catch our mind, because it is not easy thing to catch mind. So we are using couple of traps to catch our invisible mind. So there is nothing wrong with these factors. You can choose peaceful place, you can choose very quiet time, and you can sit quietly to continue or to restart your formal meditation that we call sitting meditation. And the fourth thing, or the last thing that I am going to discuss with you, is something different. We have peaceful place, and if we have a peaceful time, and if we sit quietly, but we need the technique. Without technique, without the meditation object, there is no meditation. We can sit quietly, but we can't say I am meditating, because no meditation object. So we need the technique for the meditation object. That's the fourth factor that we have to think about. There are hundreds or thousands of techniques that you can choose one of them. Breathing meditation, or metta, or loving kindness meditation, or so and so. But still you need a technique. So we do this sitting meditation with these conditions. We are conditioning ourselves by practicing formal meditation. We are conditioning to the time, to the environment, to the posture, and to the technique. It is quite okay in the beginning. If you want to begin your practice, your meditation, better to sit same place every day, and same time, same posture, and better to practice same technique every day. If you have one place for meditation, when you go to that place, immediately your mind start to meditate effortlessly. And if you have time, a particular time, regular time to meditate, when that time comes, your mind wants to meditate. And when you sit in your conditioned way to meditate, when you sit, immediately mind is start to meditate. And whenever you think about your meditation technique, easy to jump into that meditation from your wandering mind into the calmness. So we can use these things as a tool to go into the meditation. I like to use this word again, as a tool to meditate. These are not the meditation, but we can use these things as a tool. That we can call regular practice or regular meditation, formal meditation. So if you do this type of meditation daily or weekly, you can say you are a meditator. But we have to remind this thing very clearly. We are learning to use tools. We are not using tools. We are learning to use tools. That's the important thing that we have to remind again and again in this formal or regular practice. We are learning to drive ourselves. My father had a driving school. When he was teaching or giving instruction to beginners, he always used very quiet road, not inside the town, inside the city. And he chose quiet time, not after the school hours or not after the office hours, he always used very quiet time, quiet places, quiet time. And his car is so simple, very simple car. He didn't allow to anybody to change the gear from first to top, only first to second, and then stop again, change into the first, and go a little while, and change to second gear, go a little while, stop again, first gear and second gear. So I was so bored to see this. But after people learn driving in this way, then they can drive anywhere in the world, in any time, in the day, in any car. So formal meditation is like that. We are looking an artificial place. This is very artificial place. And Milamb is very artificial place. So we need an artificial place. We need an artificial time, we need an artificial posture. This is artificial, not the normal posture that we are using for our life. And we need an artificial people. We call meditation teachers, they are very artificial. So we have to use these qualities that we are developing in our formal meditation. We have to use those qualities in our daily life. Otherwise, we can't go anywhere. Always we are going to same place, around same place, if we are not using these qualities in our daily life. Always we have to drive from first gear to second, second to first, again first to second. We can't go anywhere. We are just cycling around same place. In Nilambe, when people come to meditate, and I ask them when they come to meditation hall to do their sitting meditation, please come quietly. Before they open door, please, I ask them to open quietly and enter the hall quietly, sit quietly, because I remind them that you are coming to this hall to meditate, and that is not something special. The special thing is, when they leave the meditation room after the meditation, I ask them to go outside from this meditation hall to meditate. You are going from this room to real meditation hall. Don't forget it. When people meditate in Nilambe Meditation Center, in couple of days or couple of weeks or couple of months or unfortunately couple of years, after this period they have to leave. So when they leave, they say openly, they say this thing, thank you very much Supul, I am leaving, we are leaving, and we are coming back to here to meditate. And most of them are coming back, definitely they are coming back annually, every year. So, in the beginning, I was happy to hear that. But then I contemplate about it, I think about it. What's that reason? They say that they are coming back to meditate. That means they are not going to their life to meditate. When they want to meditate, they want to come back. They have to come back to Nilambe. We can addict it to these tools. That is very dangerous. We can addict it to the places, to the time, to the posture, and to the technique. Even in Nilambe Meditation Hall, if you were there, you can remember about it. It's a hall, a simple hall, and 30 people can sit very easily. So inside the hall, same silence everywhere, same peace everywhere. But when people are addicted to special place, they want to sit same place in each session, in every day. When they come little early and see somebody sit, their meditation is finished. it is dangerous to be addicted to the posture, to the technique, because I know some people, they are addicted to the technique and that technique doesn't support to them anymore, but they can't give up, they can't go to new technique. They knew many techniques, but when they start to practice new technique, their mind goes to same track and continuing same fight. So we have to bring meditation into our daily life, into our normal life. That's the beauty of this meditation. If you want to get real results from out of this meditation, you have to meditate in your daily life, in your normal life, in whatever posture you are, in whatever time you are, in whatever place you are staying, in whatever thought in your mind. We have to learn to meditate. That meditation is the real meditation, and nobody can make a picture about that type of meditation. Now, one day when I was in a small city, I met a person whom I know very well from long time. He's a retired gentleman. He and his wife, they are living very peacefully. They are ideal marriage couple. Both of them are retired and they do everything together. They go to temple together and they go to see movies together. They go to shopping together. They share everything, even cooking and washing their dresses, cleaning their houses, everything they do together. Always I see both of them together. I didn't have any opportunity to see one of them alone. But that day, I see only that gentleman. He was carrying things for their house, I think after the shopping, from his both hands. He's old man. So he walked hardly. He can't walk with this heavy two bags. So I thought that his wife, definitely his wife is sick, otherwise she is not allowing him to carry both these type of heavy things to his house. And usually he has very pleasant face and a very beautiful smile on his face always, but that day I didn't see with his face, so tired, so sad, and he is so old. And whenever they see me, they know, usually they are so happy to see me, but that day he didn't enjoy that my company. I asked, how are you and what is wrong with your wife, is she sick? Then he said, yes, she is seriously sick. She can't come for shopping, she can't cook, she can't wash clothes, she can't clean the clean house and outside. So this gentleman said he has to do everything alone. She is seriously sick. So I decided to go with him to see his wife, and I walked with him. But he didn't say what type of sickness that she's having. And I didn't ask, because normally we say she has fever or she has headache, but he didn't say. So I can't ask. But I walked with him into his house to see his sick wife. Yeah, normally when I go there, she so happy and she expressed her joy. But she didn't do anything. She couldn't smile. She can't stand up and say hello to me. Even she couldn't carry to take that shopping bag from his husband. I thought she has some serious illness. Finally, I asked from her husband about her sickness, what type of sickness she has. and he replied, she has a meditation technique. So she starts to practice meditation. So always she sit now. She stopped to cook, she stopped to do all house activities, just she sit and walk. That's all. So poor husband, he has to do everything. He has to cook, he has to wash her dress, he has to clean house and go to shopping. She just sit and walk and sit. I ask, what are you doing? What is your meditation? She says, sometimes I do walking meditation. So she, actually her husband had to make a walking path to walk, to do that, her walking meditation. So she says, sometimes she's walking, do walking meditation, and sometimes she do sitting meditation. That's the way she spends her time from morning to night. And she says she's doing metta meditation. I ask, how does she do? She says, first she's doing metta to herself and then to her husband. She says, may my husband be well, be happy, be peaceful. He's getting more and more sick. He's getting more and more unhappy and more and more restless after her meditation. So this is very serious thing. Very, very serious. So I am so afraid. I was so afraid to speak with her because she was so serious with this sensitive. But I softly and gently asked about her sensitivity towards the husband. Did you never see your husband pain and suffering? He has to do everything alone. And he is physically suffering and psychologically suffering. Her reply was, that's up to him. That's not my business. And that's the disadvantage of to addicted to this formal meditation. You are losing the sensitivity and you may become a selfish person. I told her carefully, fortunately this sickness is not influenced, not true. Otherwise your husband can get it easily. If both of you are sick in this way, you have to die without having food. So again I want to say, we have to meditate in our daily life. If you are practicing metta meditation or loving kindness meditation in your sitting posture, it is very good. Please continue this sitting metta meditation and try to bring at least 1% of metta to your daily life. If you are practicing walking meditation in certain walking meditation area, very good, please continue, but try to bring that awareness into your daily walk. If you have to walk from your home to market or from your home to bus stand, try to walk mindfully. So see, if she knows about it or if she wants to practice, she can go to supermarket with her husband and the walking meditation. But she just walks inside the house and asks her husband to walk to the supermarket to do all the shopping. Your ordinary, normal, daily life is the paddy field. If you want to get harvest out of your meditation, don't forget it. Your daily life is your paddy field. To get spiritual harvest out of your normal, regular meditation practice. Thank you.
What I want to say is that you say you can do daily actions in your daily life, right? But sometimes it's very difficult because you are distracted because of, you know, the environment. So how do you do it? I find it very hard. Because you are so mindful of your own thoughts, right? You may not be aware of what is happening outside. Or maybe you're locked down so bad. What I want to know is how to do daily meditation in your daily life.
You are quite right. It is very easy to drive a car in an empty road. But you can't go wherever you want if you are looking only empty road. So if you want to go somewhere, we have to learn to drive our life with these all distractions. That is the important thing. So the third suggestion that I am going to give is, when we do sitting meditation, we experience so much peace. We experience so much silence. That's good, because our life is not peaceful. So better to experience silence at least 10-15 minutes a day. Please do not expect same amount of peace in your daily life by practicing meditation. That is very wrong expectation. It is, if you can experience same peace in your daily life, you are so fortunate to have an abnormal life. But it is not realistic. So let go of this expectation and open to your daily life. Try to be mindful, try to be aware without expecting peacefulness and calmness. So we have to change our target. When we are doing sitting meditation, mainly our target is to experience peacefulness. That's quite okay. But when we are trying to apply meditation into our daily life, we can change this target a little bit towards mindfulness. So, see how far you can do things mindfully. That's very important. Because most of the time we think about meditation with only pleasant things, beautiful things. That's okay, but if you are thinking about meditation in this way, we are looking only half of the picture, not we can't see the full picture of meditation. We have to learn to face to other side of life if we want to get full picture. We may not be able to do everything mindfully in our daily life. That is true. At least you can try one thing. Maybe first tea that you are having, or when you are using your bathroom, your first shower. Try to do as a meditation. When you go to bathroom, please think, I am going to my meditation room. Please change your mind. Or I am going to do my first meditation. When you are brushing your teeth, please think, this is my meditation. And try to do mindfully. Try to do slowly. We are doing many things together. We are not doing single thing alone. But mainly we can't do many things while we are brushing through. We can't talk. So better to start with this activity. Try to do mindfully, slowly, and try to enjoy. You can continue this meditation maybe 1 week, maybe 1 month, only this activity. Don't try to do everything mindfully. So when you can reach that point, then you can add another thing. That is and one way to practice meditation in your daily life.
I find that a very difficult to be mindful and at the same time to be aware of the surroundings. You know, if you're mindful, then you'll be so concentrated on your own thoughts. You're not aware of what's happening. So first of all, you're talking about mindfulness and awareness. I find it very difficult. It's just like, you know, it's the opposite of the shark.
Well, I think you are trying to concentrate to whatever you are doing, no? And yeah, when you try to pay your full attention to one activity, then we are losing awareness. That's true. Therefore, try to do things mindfully. It is different. Mindfulness and concentration can go together, but still they are two different things. What is mindfulness? I can give a beautiful example from Buddhist text. One king wants to find a watchman for his treasury. So he announced there is a vacancy for watchman. And that day there will be an interview. So many people come for this interview. So interview is very practical. What is the test? He asked these people to walk from beginning to the end in this building. They said, oh, that's very easy. Yes, but you have to carry an oil ball, full of oil ball on your head. You have to walk very carefully. If you are losing any single drop of oil, then you can't get this job. So that is not easy thing. You can imagine. Yes, our head is not flat, it's round. And ball is still, it is also round and full of oil. So, and you have to walk. Staircase, you have to walk up, you walk down. So most of them are failed. But one person came there without losing any single drop of oil. The king said, oh, very well. Now tell me, how is my building? What was there? He said, no, I didn't see anything. I was so concentrated to my head. He said, you have good concentration power, but you are not able to do this job. As a watchman, you have to concentrate to your job, but you have to open your mind, your eyes, your ears to who are coming inside, who are going, what they are breathing, what they are taking. You have to see. So Buddha says, this is the example for mindfulness, for meditators. You have to take care of yourself and you don't have to forget about the external world. You have to balance your attention. So that is mindfulness, that is awareness. Easy to forget yourself and the external world. And little bit not easy to forget about outside and only looking ourselves, but very difficult to come to the middle and look both sides. But when you practice mindfulness, we can see, we can do it, we can experience. So try to practice that type of mindfulness. That type of mindfulness, the Buddha says, that is the right mindfulness. So there will be some wrong mindfulness.
Sir, you just mentioned about the regular practice of meditation is we learn to use the tool. So after training, so we can use it in our daily life. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you said that in our daily life, the meditation object, so many meditation objects, so then we can't fix from a singular one. So how can we, or how do we learn this technique in our regular practice and then apply it in the daily practice?
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we think sitting meditation and practicing meditation in daily life, both are entirely different things. We think in this way. So we have to correct our attitudes first. What we are doing in sitting meditation, that same thing we have to practice or we have to do in our daily life. First thing that we think, sitting meditation is very easy, or regular meditation is very easy. It is the easiest way to practice meditation. But practicing meditation in daily life is so difficult. But if you ask from regular meditators about this question, they know that it's not easy. To sit, not easy one another. To concentrate, to breathe, not easy. Those are not easy actually, but we have some kind of a picture for that is very easy. But to practice in daily life, not easy. So we are going to our daily life with this negative attitude. So first we have to remove this attitude about daily life meditation. That's the first thing. How many times your mind goes away from your meditation technique when you are doing the meditation? Many countless times our mind goes away. So we have to bring back. How many times you are bringing back your mind from the past and from the future to the meditation technique? So same thing we can do in our daily life when we are going to do eating meditation or whatever, working meditation or whatever in our daily life, driving meditation, you can, same thing. But start with mindfulness. So I am going to do some meditation while I am driving this car. So whenever mind goes away, try to bring back to your drive. So same thing we have to do in our daily life. Nothing special, nothing new. Same practice. When we do breathing meditation, awareness on the breathing meditation, we are learning to watch our breath. When the breath is long, we have to learn to know that our breath is long. And when the breath is moving fastly, we have to learn to observe the speed of our breath. And then we are going to investigate about it. What's the reason? We can see psychological reasons. We can see emotional reasons. We can see physical reasons behind the speed of our breathing, behind the length of our breath. Same thing we can do in our daily life. Whenever we are emotionally disturbed, whenever we are experiencing restlessness or stress, we can see how the breath is moving. So same thing we can practice in our daily life. And we can get recovered soon. And another tool that if you are practicing metta meditation, loving kindness in your regular practice, we are using to say, may I be well, may my all friends be well, and may my all unfriendly people be well, and may all living beings be well. So we can use that tool in our daily life. If somebody is doing unfriendly things to whatever my life activity, we can just ask, can I practice that metta towards himself, towards herself? Just raise this question. Don't force yourself to do metta. Just ask, how far I can practice metta in this critical situation? Just let yourself to meditate in your daily life in effortless state. So there are some other tools, other way to use these tools, but I think this is more than enough, no?
One more question. Buddha says, and today your efforts on our daily practice, and even just then your answers that even our worker practice and daily life practice is the same. It's the same. The technique is the same. So there is a retreat, there is a 10-day retreat on the 1st of October. So what's the purpose of the 10-day retreat?
You can see. Please come and do your own experiment. As the learner, as the beginner, still we need empty roads sometimes to learn how to drive our car, our life. So sometimes we need retreat. But I am not going to say that it's the only way to practice meditation. We are learning to see this point, my life is my retreat. That is the target of all spiritual retreats, to find out, to realize this important quality or target, my life is my retreat.
Master Yuho, thanks for sharing your experience on meditation. You mentioned earlier about walking meditation. Can you elaborate a little bit? And also may I ask you, you said you emphasize quite on our daily life, applying meditation on our daily life. So how can we apply meditation? For example, when I am doing some household chores, such as ironing my clothes, washing dishes, or do some cleaning in my house. And you also mentioned, for example, which we do quite often, to go to the supermarket. How can we apply meditation when we go shopping? Which we have a shopping list, we have to look for prices, look for the lowest prices, maybe look for bargains. So we have a lot of exceptions. And you mentioned about walking to work as part of the meditation process. And we have to watch the traffic lights, and maybe we think about the office work. So can you share more about the experience on these issues? Thank you.
Yeah, there is no connection between meditation and color life, no? So whether we meditate or not, we have to think about it. We have to think about time. We have to think about budget. We have to think about prices, and we have to think about our needs. If you are applying your meditation into those areas, then the one thing that we don't have to think everything at once. Normally we are trying to think everything at once. That's why we are always mentally tired. That's why we are always stressed. Not because of our physical activities, because of our mental business. That we call living in the present moment. That means if you want to think something this moment, you can think. If you want to do something this moment, you can do. Consciously. With full attention. Then you can save time. That's the beauty of this meditation. If you are doing things mindfully, and if you are doing things consciously, we can save time. We are losing time because we are trying to do many things together. Then we are open to many, many mistakes. So we have to do recorrection and always we are thinking, oh, did I close my door or did I lock it? While we are going to home or while we are going to office, we always think about it. So if you do mindfully, we are free from this type of thought. So we can save time to do new things. You ask about shopping and supermarket. When we are going to buy things with a list, before we make the list, we can think it consciously and mindfully. Do I need these things really? Do I need today? Is it okay to postpone? What type of things I can cancel, leave, or what type of things I can postpone to next week? So we can try to reduce our shopping list if we do this meditation. And last thing is, this I always ask from people, we have time for tea, we have time for everything, but we don't have time for planning. Therefore, we are planning all the time. Whatever we do, mind wants to plan something else. Because we are not giving particular time to mind, to plan, to our future. So, give some time, make a timetable, and give some time, maybe half an hour every day, to plan next day or next week or your near future. And try to do all the planning consciously, step by step, and you can edit it, re-edit it, and try to finalize and close the file. And whenever those plans come to your mind, learn to say, I did it. I don't have to think it again. And try to do this meditation. You may feel a lot of freedom.
I would like to ask a question. For the recent period, the stock market fluctuated a lot, and the price has jumped down quite a great portion. So maybe many Hong Kong people have invested in the stock market, and maybe they feel sad, or sometimes they're very excited when the price goes up, but get very sad after it goes down, say a few days after. And also there are some crisis about the insurance company, and many Hong Kong people get very anxious whether they can get the return from the insurance plan. And just a couple of days ago, there's some rumor about a local bank. People rush to the bank to queue for a few hours to get back their money. So it seems that sometimes people become very anxious, feel a lot of anxiety about their investment, their savings, something like this. In such period of time, what should be our attitude, or how can we apply meditation in such a situation?
Well, I think as a meditation teacher, this is not the right time to visit Hong Kong. Our life, we have to think about the nature of our life or nature of the world. Always we have a dream about the security. We are looking security from everything, from our parents, from our children, from our friends, from our partners, from our job, from our savings, everything. Why we need everything? Because of security. We are looking security. Without these things, our life is not safe. That's the reality. Without our friends, without our investment, just imagine your life. Without having all these things, how will be your life? We can't imagine it. In Sri Lanka, you can see dummies in the paddy field. For what reason?
To get rid of bird, to get rid of certain animals. So people make dummies out of piece of wood, and they find some head, some cord, some trousers, some sunglasses and suit from different people, and give to this dummy. So after having all these things, dummy is so proud, you can see. And all animals are afraid to this dummy. All birds are afraid to this dummy. And I think dummy is thinking about his own power after collecting all things from others. So I was contemplating about it. How life is same. Without having all these things, we are like just a dummy. No difference. We can't stand by our own foot only. We are very helpless. We are very, very helpless. That's the nature of the life, is insecurity. We don't like to see it. So we are looking at beautiful, beautiful dream about security. With all our friends, with all our surrounding, with all our jobs and investments. It's okay. But if we are looking same dream again and again, we forget it. This is a dream. Thinking this is reality. But one day we have to wake from this dream. We don't know when, but definitely we have to wake. If you are not learning to see the reality, then it will be a really, really shock. So, in the meditation, gradually, slowly, we are learning to see the nature of the life, nature of the world. The nature is insecurity. There is no guarantee for anything. That's why Buddhism says everything is impermanent and everything is not ours. Not ours, helpless. Helpless means I am not the owner of my belongings. So that's the reality. We are experiencing this reality from beginning to the end, from birth to the death. But we are not realizing it. So, I think you have this golden opportunity to realize. My friend tells this, his experience. There was a blind man in Colombo, in capital of Sri Lanka. He is so poor and blind. And he doesn't have money to buy a glass. So, my friend buy a glass for this poor blind person and offer. So he's so happy. The blind person is so happy and he wear it. Then now he can see. After a couple of days, my friend visits again this blind person and he still there, but he lost his glass. Somebody took it. So my friend was so upset because it's expensive thing and it's very injured. So my friend is angry. He was angry. Then that blind person to a person said, "Be calm. Nothing happened. Just owner has changed from his glass. Owner is changed. That's all. Now that is another
changed.
Year.
The owner is changed.
Anyway, I am not going to say this can be very peaceful thing to lose the investment. and just let it go, and come to this hall and sit from morning to evening, not think about it. No, I'm not going to say that, but meditation gives some strength to face to this situation. That is very important thing. Because whenever we lost this type of material support, we are losing our psychological confidence. Meditation gives some psychological energy to our life. No need to lose our psychological confidence. Your life is there. Your mind is there. Your effort is there. Your knowledge is there. Everything is there. Only you lost something, some materialistic thing. So, you can try again. There is some time, there is some opportunity. So, that type of confidence is very, very important. So, meditation gives this confidence to us. To face to these things, face to these challenges,